Hold on.
Okay, go ahead and get started. This is the Heritage Harbor Water Pressure Subzone Elevated Water Storage Tank Public Meeting. We're going to go through some slides. I have about 20 slides, and then we're going to have questions at the end. If you can hold your questions to the end, that would be great, because a lot of the slides is kind of a comprehensive slide deck. If you want to go back to another slide, you know, we can do that. That's not a problem. So I had some introductions. We had some DPW folks and some Hazen folks. Chris Murphy, Engineer Administrator with DPW. If you could just wave and identify yourself. Thanks, Chris. Terry Winslow. Terry is our outreach coordinator. She was at the sign-in sheet when you came in. If you missed the sign-in sheet, if you could go back, we'd like to know who attended the meeting. Eddie Cope with Water Ops, over here. I'm Mike Stroud. I'm the project manager for Capital Projects, DPW, for this elevated tank. And we have John Grozier. John is another project manager in our office who will be taking over the project in a couple months into design. We have our design consultants, Molly Jose, also be presenting, and then Christine Rilla in the back. So the reason we're here tonight, this project has been around for a while. So we want to kind of have a check-in, see where we're at, what's happening, where we're going, give an overview, go through the slide deck, and then, as I mentioned, I'll have some questions. So big picture, this is the entire county for elevated water storage. We started this project in 2005, and we built five tanks within the county in other pressure zones for that parent project, and then we have three more in the works. Two are in final permitting, and then we have one that we're discussing tonight for Heritage Harbor. So if you see on the right, that's all the pressure zones in the county. A lot of times folks don't know how they're organized by pressure zones, but they're color-coded. You can see we have a lot of water to the north and to the east, and then south in the rural areas is mostly wells. So that was the big picture. I want to zoom in on our water pressure zone that we're discussing this evening, because a lot of folks don't know, you know, the boundaries of their water pressure zone. That's sometimes new. So this is our water pressure zone, and then we have some monuments to orient yourself. We have Route 50 going through the middle, and then 97 going up towards the north, and then on the east and the west, we're bounded by the water. This is a small pressure zone. It's a sub-pressure zone. So as all the pressure zones go, this one's fairly small. I'll come back to this map in a minute. Why are we building a $1 million tank in the Heritage Harbor Pressure Zone? It has been in the master plan for several iterations. It's in the latest one for 2022. It can be accessed at that link. We are fed by a booster pump station in this pressure zone, and that's not ideal. I'll go back to the map in a second and talk about that. But we want to balance the pressure zone, and we want to increase reliability and redundancy, and also add some storage to the pressure zone. So going back to this slide, for the Heritage Harbor pressure zone, for a typical water pressure zone, some of the other pressure zones in the county, the ideal setup is we have two feeds into the water pressure zone and two tanks. In the Heritage Harbor pressure zone, we have one feed and no tanks, and that is not ideal. And the one feed that is coming down Harry S. Truman on the side here, I'll point her out, is fed by the water booster pump station up here at the high ground as you're coming down Harris T. Allen. I think several of the people here this evening, if you've lived in the water pressure zone for a while, you've experienced some disruptions, some breaks, just some services going down, maybe low water pressure, that sort of thing. A lot of that is tied to having only one feed down Area S. Truman and no storage within the water pressure zone. So what are elevated water storage tanks? What do? We drive around through the county and then also out in other areas, and we see them along the highway. What is their purpose? So they have three purposes. The two are storage. First, we have emergency storage. That stands ready if there is a break or a disruption in the system, or if we have to do maintenance on a line in some area and valve off that area. That emergency storage is elevated and it stands ready to feed the pressure zone during an outage like that. The other is fire storage. If we have a fire event within the water pressure zone, the fire department needs to hook up to a hydrant, and they need a lot of volume very quickly. And so that serves ready for fire suppression storage. Those two are more, don't happen as often, but they're a primary reason we have the tanks. The main day-to-day reason is equalization. The water pressure demand kind of ebbs and flows throughout the day. Overnight, the water tank fills with the pressure of the system, and then first thing in the morning, when demand is high, people are getting up, taking showers, brushing their teeth, all that sort of stuff, the demand goes higher, and then it tapers off in the middle of the day, and then it raises back in the afternoon when folks are returning from work, that sort of thing. So the tank equalizes the system. It raises and lowers and maintains the pressure and the volume for the pressure zone. So I'm going to turn it over for Molly with Hazen and Sawyer, our engineers. They're going to talk about the siting criteria. This is kind of a snapshot. When we go to look for a spot for the tank, we have a lot of criteria. Some of them are prerequisites that we have to meet. Some of them maybe we can design around. But I just do want to stress the point, it's not quite as simple as put the tank over there. There's a lot more that goes into it. So I'll turn it over to Molly.
Thanks, Mike. So when we go to select a tank location, we try to select the optimal location, and there are several parameters that are considered, as you can see on the screen. The goal is to select a location and layout that will minimize environmental impacts and also meet regulatory requirements. So key criteria when we're looking for an elevated tank location is ground surface elevation, and high ground elevations means a shorter tank. Taller tanks are more expensive to build. We also want to keep those tanks less than 200 feet tall, and this ties in directly into construction costs. Taller tanks are more expensive. The operational level that you saw on the last screen that Mike showed was what we call overflow elevation, or that determines the water pressure in your community. And we want that water pressure in your community to be between 40 to 80 psi to maintain fire flow requirements, as well as enough pressure in your faucets. So that's what the elevated tank will do. So that's why ground elevation is one of the critical areas, criteria that we look at. Another key thing is also proximity to existing water infrastructure, your existing water mains, as well as transmission mains. The closer they are, we can connect them directly and to the distribution system without having to spend a lot of money on major infrastructure construction. The size of the tank, typically for a 1 million gallon tank, we recommend about 2 acres of land minimum. That's for construction as well as for post-construction. Elevated tanks typically need to be periodically inspected, cleaned, as well as maintained. And so 2 acres is what we really need to do operation and maintenance post-construction as well. And there are several environmental impacts that we also want to mitigate. This site that we are looking at, fortunately, we do not anticipate any major environmental impacts, and any minimal impacts will be mitigated during construction and design as well. So the site terrain is another criteria that's important. We don't want to build tanks on areas that are very steep or have hilly terrains. We want something somewhat of a flat area where we can build a tank and we can do grading and construct reasonably. Next screen, please. So between 2013 and 2023, the past almost 10 years, we've looked at several locations in this area, and just like real estate, location, 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 it was really hard to kind of zero in, given the criteria that we looked at, and find a location that would fit that bill to build a tank. And we looked at about 10 locations in the Heritage Harbor Zone. Next slide. This is our preliminary site layout that we've done in the proposed location. It shows the tank layout along with an access road that connects directly to Crownsville Road. And the next slide shows the same layout with the Google Maps in the background. It shows our property that's going to be acquired should the county move forward, along with the temporary construction easement and the access road and the water connection, water main. That's good.
We do have two types of tanks that will be included in the bid documents, composite and fluted column. The one on the left, the composite, is the most prevalent one that you see around the county. That's kind of the modern design. We include both to increase competition with the builders. There's kind of specialized builders who work in these tanks. But the one on the left is the Two Rivers Elevated Water Storage Tank, which is a 1 million gallon tank within the county. We don't have many 1 million gallon, our primary tank is a 2 million gallon composite tank. That's what you see going up here, but we don't, there's not a need for that level of storage, so we're looking at a 1 million gallon tank. So most likely we'd be looking at the composite tank for construction. I'll get into the schedule in a couple minutes, but we do have quite a bit of design and permitting left to complete. So during design, there are opportunities to increase the viewshed for the tank with landscaping, plantings, and screenings. That landscaping has a one-year warranty. If it doesn't establish in the first year, we can have the landscaper come out and replace those. Security, we know that's an issue. Most of our tanks have a perimeter fence around the tank area. And then for the access road going back to the tank, we usually put an access gate so no one can turn off the main road and get back to the site. We do, during construction, there's site work to get the site prepped and the stormwater management in place. So during the site work, foundation work, and erection of the pedestal, there will be some noise, but we have mitigation. We constrict the contractor's work hours during construction. If we're doing pilings, the geotechnical analysis that we do during design will dictate what kind of foundation. If we're doing pilings, we'll tend more towards driven pilings or screw pilings as opposed to driven pilings.
Thanks, Mike. So as a community, one of the key things that you'd be concerned about is visual impacts of the elevated tank. And we've created or simulated renderings of the proposed tank to scale from surrounding key locations. And we picked about 8 locations to look at the visual impacts of the community. While the tank is a critical water infrastructure for emergency, we also want to be cognizant of the community and see how we can mitigate the visual impacts of that infrastructure. First, look at the next one, please.
And you can mention they're on the boards too.
Yes, and they're also on the boards out there, so if you want to take a closer look at some of the visual impacts locations that we've looked at. The first location we looked at was Crownsville Road and Defense Highway, and it's looking as you kind of stand at location one and you're looking at the tank site, that's the top of the tank. Now, we've looked at the worst case scenario, that is winter when the tree leaves are down and there's no foliage. In the summer, the leaves will be up and there'll be more coverage, so we're showing you the worst case scenario looking towards the tank. This is the one right in front of the tank on Crown School Road, and we're looking towards the tank, and you can see the impact, visual impact of the tank. Location 3 is kind of just behind the proposed site, and you're looking at the tank. Again, in the summer, there should be foliage and more tree coverage, and you should have more less impact of the tank. Next. Location 4 is off of Kinsella Drive, and we're looking towards the tank. Even in the winter, you can see it's kind of pretty well hidden. Next. This is location 5, and it's off of Chesterfield Drive, just kind of north of the proposed location, and you can barely see the tank, the top of the tank in this image. Location 6 is further your pump handle port, and as you can see, you can barely see the tank on this one. This is winter, as you can see, snow on the ground. Location 7 is kind of right behind a Machiavelli port, and you can see the top of the tank. Again, we are anticipating with summer there should be more coverage. And location 8, which was the final location that we looked at from Asher's Farm Road, you can see the tank highlights just behind those trees, and hopefully more coverage during the summer. So that was the 8 locations or key locations that we looked at to look at the visual impact of the community. And as Mike is going to mention more about landscaping and screen that we're going to build on post-construction to kind of beautify the area as we finish construction. Thanks.
Okay, so this slide got a little jarbled, but I think most of the information is there. So folks want to know where we're at. We're very early in design. We've done a very preliminary schematic design for the Moose Lodge site. So we have to advance the design to 30%, well, at 30%, 60%, 90%, 100% bid set documents. So we do need to work on completing acquisition of the property and design. Those two items can run concurrently for those first 3 months. And I did give an idea of the completion date on the side. But once we're done designing and we have all permits in hand, we can advertise the project, and that takes about 4 months to put it down the street, get a contractor, award the contract, and then construction, we're anticipating 18 months. So, and this schedule is estimated as we know it now. A lot could happen over the next 2 years or so as we're moving into it, especially in permitting, sometimes that gets extended. But as we are now, we'd be looking at December 2026 time frame for starting construction. One thing I wanted to go back to real quick with the design features. This tank here is the General's Highway tank, the 2 million gallon tank that was built off of General's Highway. We had an extensive landscaping package. It's starting to come in, and it's going to continue to grow in. So with that, we will open it up to questions. One thing, this is my contact information, and we are going to post these slides on the DPW website. Terry, who works for public outreach, she's going to get the slides posted at that website that's there. So that's my contact information. So we will open it up for questions. Couple of housekeeping items for the questions. In budget town halls and other large public meetings, we have a timer, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. It gives everyone equal participation. I'm not going to run that timer, but if we're really getting bogged down on one thing, I'm going to say I want to give some other folks some opportunity. We do have to end. I know we started a little bit late because of the parking, but we do have to end by 7 o'clock, 7:10. Is where the school has given us the location. Until then, we need to pack up and put the space back together for the students tomorrow. So I will field majority of the questions that come up from administrative. We do have the engineer for technical, and then we do have water operations for maybe if we get into some of the operations things. So I'll take the questions and funnel them. I'd like to give you a remote mic, so if you can just use your voice. If I can't, I'll try and paraphrase and repeat the question if I can. Yes, sir, you had your hand up first. Go for it.
First question I have is, you mentioned multiple locations that were considered for the tank, with this being the final decision. Where was the next best location?
There's really, the answer to that question is that there is not one. Oftentimes, like we mentioned in the design criteria, it's not just one thing, that we can overcome. It's several criteria, and this is a small water pressure zone, so that squeezes us in. A lot of them may have met the criteria that we evaluated, but the property owner didn't want to sell, so you know, that's where we were.
Where was that location? Was that within Heritage Harbor?
It's not specific to the, I mean, that's a general, I talked to several property owners within the pressure zone, so that's not a specific statement to anyone. But to answer your question, we don't have an alternate.
So this was the primary site that you were able to only consider?
No, consider is not accurate. We considered several sites, we evaluated several sites, but this is the one that meets all the criteria and the property owner is willing to sell.
So my question is, what was the next site that you considered that didn't meet the criteria?
I'd have to go back to the siting from several years back, and it was most likely a property owner that didn't want to sell. It met the criteria. One that comes to mind is the one we evaluated near Generals Highway and Crownsville Road. I don't know, I can't recall from my memory who the property owner, but they said, thanks for reaching out, we're not interested in selling.
Thank you.
Next question.
So I have actually a few questions, so if it takes too long, please let me know. But
yeah, we might do one or two and then we'll go to someone else.
So my name is Dominic Prokop, and I think my family actually owns two properties in Twin Hill community. And I think the slide number 3, the visual impact of the giant water tower, was taken from our property. So I definitely, that was the white fence.
Yes,
this is. So that lot belongs to us. I'm completely speechless. This is a real giant, and I just wanted to address the first thing that I believe could have prevented more people to get involved and be interested in this construction. The notice you sent out, if I'm not mistaken, stated incorrect address. The location of the tank, you said 1980, and I think the correct location of the tank would be 1890.
Okay.
So yeah, if that's the case, I would probably ask that another letter is sent to all interested parties. Because if I... I'm sorry, I was just addressing the letter that was sent out that it did not specify the correct location. So there was incorrect address of the location of the tank, which I believe would have prevented more people to come and express their opinion. So if that's the case, I would like you to
send another
letter and notify everyone again, because this is...
Well, step one, we'll evaluate what you're saying. We'll because we wanted to use the address from the Moose Lodge. A lot of an empty parcel doesn't always have a physical mailing address because it doesn't have a mailbox. So we use the Moose Lodge address.
And I think it was
wrong.
Okay,
was wrong.
We can take a look at that. Thank you.
Some of the questions I have were addressed, like how you actually selected the right location. So you said that you had 10 locations, and unfortunately, this is the only location that fits your needs. It's hard to believe. The area is pretty large. I know you said that this water pressure zone is one of the smallest, but the area is still large, so I really do not believe that this would be the perfect location. This area where we live is zoned rural agriculture, right? We moved there because we didn't want to be surrounded by giant structures, and voila. Now you come and you propose, I know it has been at works for some time, and you propose this giant over there, everyone will see, right? It's white, it doesn't blend with the nature. I mean, it's just a giant eyesore. So that leads me to a question. Have you considered that this will devalue the property values within the close vicinity of this giant tank? Is there a plan how you will compensate us for this huge inconvenience and loss of potential loss of property
values? Yeah, understood. That, okay.
That's 33 homes just in our community.
And that's not affecting only Twin Hills community. So is there a plan how to talk to us and offer a compensation?
You want me to start, Chris? And if you got, I mean, typically, no, that's not the case with capital projects. If it were, that would make most capital projects cost prohibitive if that had to be included in part of it. I think it's something we could definitely maybe discuss on our side, but
typically we don't compensate unless unless we're actually purchasing the property. So there's no visual, like a visual easement.
Do you have the number of homes that this water tank would be servicing?
It services the entire pressure zone.
I had that at one point,
but I don't have the number off the top of my head. So that's sir, that's two questions. I just want to keep it. We can come back if there's time, but ma'am.
Yes, I'm Gail Coleman Sears, and I live in Avitas, which is directly behind this. Pump Handle is one of the streets, but I see that you didn't do Chaparral Court, and that's closer. And I have several concerns, much of them echoed the gentleman before me, about the location, which Bob was just talking about. And I saw that one of the locations was A or B, which is in Heritage Harbor, or close to Heritage Harbor. And I was wondering, they have lots of open space there in Heritage Harbor. And all of us, well, a lot of us who have residences, closer to that property, it's really going to negatively impact the value of our properties as well as the aesthetics here. So that's a concern that I have, and I would like to see what you say about that. Also, the dimensions above grade here, above ground level, what is the height on this? Is this
sure.
2 or 3 feet?
It will be, let me go to a good rendering. So we, like I mentioned, we have just some design left to do. We've done a preliminary design. We know the ground elevation there. But our preliminary assessment from the schematic design is 200 feet from ground level to top of tank.
Okay. That is extremely imposing, 200 feet, in my opinion, here. And we live kind of in a lovely woodland area where we have lots of wildlife. And lots of natural trees here, indigenous to Maryland. And this is really going to negatively impact that. A lot of us are on wells, too. We are not going to benefit from this water pressure at all. And yet, it's going to impact us. So that's a big concern. And I haven't heard anything about this prior to tonight. It's me. And I lived in my home in Ridges. The other thing is, real quick, is the maintenance. You talked about maintenance and needing a 2-acre parcel. Well, a lot of us have 2 acres, 1.5 acres to 2 acres. That's as big as our property. It's going to be covered with the structure, the maintenance structure, the other outbuildings that are going to be required to maintain this. And I'm curious to know what kind of impositions, noise level, humming sound that might be emitted. I've never lived next to a water tower before, so I'm not clear on what we would all be experiencing when we're used to a more bucolic, quiet, peaceful, woodland existence in our properties. So if you could address the noise impact, the footprint, how much disruption for maintenance vehicles, also how much disruption on construction.
Go first.
Just a couple things. So the first thing I just want to show you, I think it's a good visual right here. We won't be clearing any trees to construct this.
No, that's not the plan. Yeah, we do have to complete the design, and there may be some stormwater management on the southern portion of the 2 acres.
Yeah, I don't know how wide is the proposed, the pole. How wide is it?
I don't have that's the scale though. That's the blue is the limits of the bowl.
I'm trying to remember, just so I can give you a thought that maybe it's only.
Can you put one of those slides up that might show Chaparral is right behind, kind of to the left of that big blue circle? And where is Pump Handle? Do you know where Pump Handle is on that
location? Six.
Six.
And see, if you come this way, that's where Chaparral would be.
I think the tank is not going to be white. Usually we paint them blue like the sky.
Well,
I know it's, I'm just, I'm just,
you know what I'm saying.
We will be adding a whole bunch of trees for landscaping to screen things.
Finish your questions.
Well, I don't think they'll get 200 feet in my lifetime.
And then, I'm trying, I don't know what the distance is from the tank to the streets she's talking about.
Yeah, we'd have to take a look. I mean, we knew from the southern area, you know, there's not much of a view shed impact, but we knew it was to the west, the north, and the east. So that's where we set up our rendering locations.
But I'm not sure anybody, the gentleman mentioned about not being notified, and I'm not sure any of the other residents, only a couple of the residences in the ridges, myself included, were notified of this meeting tonight. And this is really going to impact us.
The notice letters going to the Ridges community were limited to those people on Chaparral and Palm Canyon Court, not the whole community. I'm the president of the association, and we are quite perturbed, and the fact that other locations, and this is for Heritage Harbor, and the pumping station is in Heritage Harbor currently.
Okay, so I want to finish her. She asked about three or four different questions. I want to make sure I address them and then move on. So maintenance. I'll go back to the site plan. During construction, we're going to be loud. There's no way around that. As I mentioned, we're going to look for opportunities to mitigate it with work hours and that sort of thing. Once construction is complete, this is a pretty quiet neighbor. You're going to have somebody from operations come once a week in a pickup truck and look around inside the pedestal. If they get an alarm over the SCADA system that they got to come out and look at something, that's you know pretty typical, but we say in general this is a quiet neighbor. This is not a lot of mechanical systems or pumps or anything like no pumps. No, that's what's at the water booster pump station, which is what we're trying to get away from. Those are mechanical systems that are prone to failure and you know induce the water in the pressure zone. This is more. I don't know, non-mechanical, mostly standard.
The pressure zone just fills it up to the top.
Where is the water?
From Broad Creek treatment plant right down.
So we have no worries about it taking any water from our underground wells. We're all on wells.
So typically, your private wells are on the upper aquifers, of probably in this area, maybe the Aquia. We're pulling water from Broad Creek from the Tuxent aquifer, which is down. I'm not sure how deep it is, maybe 800 feet or 1,600 feet in this area. So it's a different aquifer, so it wouldn't be the same water that you would be pulling.
Good. And what about the noise? We were talking about the noise. What about during construction? It's like a 2-year construction period?
18 months. The first of those 18 months, we spend a lot of time offset getting shop drawings set up, getting subcontractor agreements in place. So the we give them 18 months for the contract, but the actual on-site construction will be less and a lot, you know, on the tail end, they're doing punch lists and that sort of thing, getting the tank in service. So man, if I had a 2-minute timer, we would have gone over 3 or 4 times. So I'm gonna go, we can come back if we have time. Sir, you had your hand up next.
Yeah, hi, I'm Matt Fritz. I live on Consala Drive. Can you go to the location image number 4? Location 4, that house on the right is my driveway. So first of all, I've spoken to many neighbors who had no idea that this meeting was happening. I don't know what you used to send this out. I spoke to someone on the HOA board as I was leaving, and he was like, what, they wanna do what?
Sir, could you speak up a little bit?
Yeah, sorry. So I live that house on the right. Looks like this tank is going to be in my backyard. He said this is a zoned RA. There is no way I would have bought that house. You can't say that this is not going to impact my property value. Just to sort of, you know, we all in this neighborhood are on wells. This does nothing for us outside of the off chance that maybe our house catches on fire. I'm very willing to take that chance. As far as notification went, I spoke to multiple people who live on Consala Drive who had no idea. They did not receive the letter. I don't know by what means you guys chose to send this out. But, you know, this is not, it wasn't well thought out as far as sending letters to people. People had no idea that this was happening. It's very disappointing. I you know, it's going to impact my property value. I would not, I get nothing from it. I would not have chosen to live here with that structure in my backyard. And you can't convince me that landscaping it, you're going to get something 200 feet high. That's, yes. It's, I can't believe that this is something that you guys are considering.
Okay. Anybody else? So we've heard from folks, ma'am, I haven't heard from you yet. Go ahead, Mo.
So is this fully funded, budgeted?
Yes, so the...
I missed the initial 5 minutes.
Okay.
What is the cost? And I would also like to point out that it seems to be situated in an area where everyone is on wells, so if there was a fire event, they'd have to still bring the water truck in, because, or they'd have to install hydrants. And it's an eyesore.
So your first question was about funding. Yes, so it is mostly funded. We have an estimate at the schematic design for construction and construction only, $10 million. And that may change as we further into design, the stormwater and the site plan changes. But that is mostly funded. We will need to, once a year from now, maybe a year plus, when we're finished with design, we're bidding, we may have to, there may be a small gap that we need to close with the funding request, but we won't know that until we get further in design. And noted about the well service. So I'm gonna look, anybody else who hasn't asked a question yet? Yes, sir, Matt.
Hi, my name is Walter Pasquini. I live on Mackey Beckport. And if I were to look out my front door right now, I would see just some beautiful trees in the woods there in front of my house. And when you finish this, I'm gonna see this monstrosity when I look out my front door. And I don't care how many trees you plant around it, they're not gonna be 200 feet tall. So I think, you know, if this is something for Heritage Harbor, put it there. I don't want it in my neighborhood. Once again, we're on well. And then I also have another question with regard to the safety of it. If you have a catastrophic failure, how many gallons of water is it?
1 minute.
Where does it go?
Well,
I mean it's not to say that it's gonna happen, but if it does.
Right, and that would be part of our, as we design. Yeah, Eddie, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Eddie Cook from Water Operations. I've been in this industry for over 40 years. In my 40 years experience, there has not been one catastrophic failure except for one, and that was the city of La Plata. Three things made that tank collapse. One, improper maintenance, the utility did not take care of that tank. Two, it was empty, didn't have the stability. Three, it got hit by a Category 4 tornado. So the thing that you got to understand with Anamundo County tanks, we maintain our tanks to the top level that is needed.
Accidents happen still.
I don't know.
So what happens to the water if an accident does occur? Something made, if a catastrophic failure occurs, what happens to that water?
If it ever did happen, which, as I said, hasn't, but if it did, it would fall over, a million gallons would go down to the lowest spot, to down a hill somewhere. So
yeah, the property falls off to the left side of the screen. That gets very steep slopes on the left hand side. Also, at Eddie's point, you know, during design, we're going to do a very robust geotechnical analysis. We've done some borings. We're going to do some other soil analysis. As I mentioned before, oftentimes the design dictates pilings for this amount of weight. So we design a piling system and a foundation system. We have factors of safety in it. It would be very unlikely, as Eddie had mentioned. So anybody, you guys have had a question. So you've had a question. I'm trying to see anybody who hasn't. Ma'am, in the back, yes, please.
Went through this when the moose swabs were in there, how that's going to affect my property. And
Sir, you have a question.
It's getting pretty redundant, I guess, but I would just like to urge whoever's involved in this to take another look at Heritage Harbor, because this is just not right that we have to even be talking about this when it's going to have no benefit for us whatsoever.
So I want to go back to one of the original slides. This is called the Heritage Harbor Water Pressure Zone. Most of our pressure zones, they're identified within operations at the outfall. They're 295 or they're 315 or something. Most of these names come about because maybe that's where the pressure zone originated. But this is the boundary. It's called the Heritage Harbor Water Pressure Zone. A big chunk of Heritage Harbor is encumbered in that pressure zone. But I do want to stress, your point is valid, sir, but I want to stress that this is not just Heritage Harbor. It's called the Heritage Harbor Water Pressure Zone, but that's not the only user within the water pressure zone. All right, have we gotten everyone? Yes, sir.
So your presentation makes it sound like you think this is done. It's a fait accompli. My question is, I guess, how do we send it back to the planning phase?
As I mentioned with the original question, we've done a robust siting study. We've looked at, I think I know just about every property owner in this pressure zone who has an extra property. I've reached out to them. Sending it back is fine. That's what happened at the last public meeting several years ago when we were only evaluating a couple of the properties. And at that meeting, we made the determination that we would replace the tank at Broad Creek 1 elevated water storage, the tank that's over near the treatment plant. So that's the direction we headed several years ago. Let's just replace the tank there. But putting the tank in that location adds no benefit. It would essentially be a new tank with the same setup that we have with the booster pump station. So I'm not sure how to send it back to planning. If we send it back to planning, we'll look at the same sites that are available. But that's, you know, not something we're looking to do at this point.
Is it a matter of budget?
No, it's not necessarily budget. It's location. This is, you know, all of the criteria that we have to overcome, and it's a small area with restricted criteria, and that just doesn't lend itself to over here, over there. And the big factor is someone willing to sell. That's another, you know, issue. We may have a good system somewhere else, but if they're not willing to sell the property, then we keep looking.
So I just want to add to that we've actually been looking at this location for over a decade. The last public meeting was in 2014, I believe, and we've been planning. So this is still planning, and as you can see, we refer to it as proposed. And it's, you know, it's taken a long time for us to finally, we're listening to the community, and that's why it's been 10 years in the planning. Some people would say it's been too long in planning.
We're getting close to 7, so Sir Fletcher, you haven't had it. No, sir, sorry, in front of you, he hasn't asked a question yet.
Just real quick, I live over on Chesterfield Road. Personally, it's not really going to affect me too much, I'm sorry. I feel for you guys. I'm totally curious, so would it be possible for you all that kind of live right by what would be the water tower to maybe just go on city water? Like, would that be a...
It's a $14-story building, essentially.
What about over by the solar panels? That whole field out there? Just curious.
That's outside the pressure zone. The further we get, it's city property. I believe we did have a conversation with them, but I don't know. Sitting here, I can't do it. Of all the criteria that I've got to go through, I can't. In fact, if anyone else has another property queued up, I can't, you know, evaluate it. as we do from an engineering analysis. I will say the further, you know, if you said build the tank, you know, 5 miles down the road and pipe it in, we lose all the benefit of the tank. The pressure head is nothing by the time you get the fire flow is you know, severely reduced. So we the optimal location for the tank is close to the demand. This is a little bit north of it, but it's based on the modeling, it's doable. So, okay, anybody else who has not asked a question yet? And then we'll go back to the beginning. Anybody? Okay, sir, you asked the first question.
I have one question, and two things, really. Will there be a prohibition for putting any telecommunications satellites on this tower?
We wouldn't put satellites on the tower.
Talking about communication, cell phones.
Okay, that's not part of this capital project.
No, so, will there be a restriction, or do we need to get an enactment of the law through the county council to prohibit that?
Any type of cell infrastructure, cell, anything going on the tower is not part of this capital project. It's not encumbered in that $10 million. A prohibition, I don't have a prohibition for anything on the tank. So to answer directly, no, there's not a prohibition added to it.
The only thing I would like to add, I would suggest everyone in this room write their county council about looking at the relocation and the prohibition of cell tower equipment on water towers.
Okay, so we're on the second round. Yep, and we're going in the same order as we went when we started. So.
That was my question too. If we can have at least guarantee, if it comes to the construction, if we could be guaranteed that you will not put up cell phone towers, that would definitely negatively impact just anything around health risks and stuff like that. But if it really comes to it, which we hope we'll be able to oppose and change your decision. Are you going to require people that are currently on well to tie in?
No. Expansion of any water service is not part of this capital project. This capital project is just the tank and the water main connection and the access road to service the pressure zone. There's nothing additional to that. No, we wouldn't make any requirements to anyone to tie in or anything. Wouldn't be included with this tank. Chris, did you go ahead?
This tank won't require you to extend water to the property, though it doesn't necessarily change anything. If you were living right on the along the water main on one of these roads and in Wellville, you would be required to connect in. But that's a health department code requirement. But this tank is not going to change.
So if there is an issue with our well, you would not be allowed to fix it?
No.
But that's the same today as it would be with the tank.
If you lived along Crownsville Road and there's a water main in front of you and your well fails, you have to connect into it. But you guys being back in the way there's not a.
There's a thing called required extension distance. It's in county code. And if your well fails, the health department will require you to connect in. If you're essentially, I think it's for a residence, I think it's 50 feet. So if it's right in front of your property and you already have a main there, you would be required to connect in. This will not change anything. I assume the Moose Lodge is connected. That's
yes.
Maybe just the Moose Lodge, but that's it. They're already connected.
Okay, so ma'am, I was pointing at you, but she was behind you, so. Go ahead, ma'am. Yes.
Part of the overall community, the area. that we're all talking about here. And those of us who are very concerned here in this audience are not benefiting at all from this, except we're getting an eyesore. And I'm sorry, as much lipstick as we put on this thing, and the blue, I appreciate the blue, I did some research on that, fine. But it's still ruining our bucolic way of life here. And I think it's really going to negatively impact wildlife that we have coming in, particularly a lot of the bird species that we have. And there's no way that any amount of trees is going to block that. There's going to be environmental impact, no matter what you say. I guess it's everyone's idea of what environmental is. So I'm very disappointed in this. I was not notified of this at all. It seems to me you're selecting various people to notify them, and they're not the people that are really going to be impacted by this.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we did the...
Yep, I'll go back to the...
We did, I
believe it was a half mile. We were going to do a quarter mile. We drew a circle where the red dot is. We went a quarter mile around there, but we expanded that because we knew we needed to go further. We didn't want to go too far outside of the pressure zone or the visual impact, to get folks to the meeting. But it was about a half mile radius that Terry, with her group and public notifications, they sent out. We do hard snail mailings. We don't have email addresses or anything like that. That's just the notification method that we have to do to the mailbox.
There is this mistake about the address of the bank location. So you guys, if I get something like that, if I knew it's 1890, which is the address of the Moose Lodge, of course I will be concerned because it's right next to my property. But if you stated 1980, well, that's somewhere far away. So, we lost support from other people that could have been concerned, and I believe that you should probably repeat this meeting with the correct information sent legally. I think that's...
Yeah, again, we have to investigate. Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out. We're going to investigate that and see where the disconnect was. But there was mailings in a half-mile radius from the Moose Lodge site, and then also posted on the DPW website. That's our standard procedure for snail mailing and that sort of notification. That's what we feel legally gets to the most physical addresses and that sort of thing. So we only have a few more minutes, so we have kind of gone over, repeated a couple of things. So I'm gonna take two, well, ma'am, you didn't ask the question, so I'll get yours, and then the two more, and then we'll conclude the meeting. So yes, ma'am.
So my question is there going to be another meeting like this?
I don't, so it was just brought to our attention. Like I said, I have to investigate, if that's the case. If it is the case, we'll have a discussion internally on the county side and see if another meeting, or if we can just send clarification mailings with additional information.
I think if we have the wrong address listed, I think we should have a new meeting.
Yes. So. And what's the expected time frame? When can we expect that meeting?
I don't know. That's exactly, again, I have to make sure there was an issue with the address. I have to verify that, and then it took us several months to get this site, and we weren't aware of the parking issue at the time. So it could be several more months to book a site, make notifications, get the postings, that sort of thing out. Sir, you ready? Your second question.
Sure. Second round. You said the last public meeting is in 2014.
I believe so, yes.
So was this site, had you already picked this site then? We had that public meeting on the site? Or what was?
That was a general meeting where we were posing the tank and the need for the tank in the areas that we were looking at. So we hadn't picked a particular site. We were just kind of, it was more of a public outreach to let the public know that we were proposing a tank. To kind of put it in perspective, back then in 2014, the construction cost of the tank was about $6 million. And in the past 10 years that we've been planning, it's gone up to about $10 million, so 6 to 10. So we were just, it was, I don't know, Chris, if you remember, it was a very generic meeting of the need for the tank and why it was critical to connect to the infrastructure.
So my point is that at that meeting, did you have proposed the other proposed sites at least to show people?
We didn't know what.
I wasn't at the meeting. So
yeah, we didn't propose any particular site. It was just we are planning on putting a tank and
so you
water.
Didn't have a public meeting in which you said here are eight sites that are being considered?
I believe so, yes, yeah. And then we had to kind of remove some of those sites because they didn't meet the criteria, or they were not available, or they had steep terrain, or there was not enough land. So the next 10 years we've been looking for a site, and that's where we landed on this.
Ma'am, so we're wrapping up. If you've already asked a question, ma'am in the back,
so
go ahead.
Just real quick, can down the road, eventually in the future, could this be connected to the new Brownsville Hospital project, specifically ones also?
Go ahead. Yeah, so I'm also the project manager for the Crownsville Hospital Memorial Park. It's too far. The distances are too far. We have two tanks on that site, two half-million gallon tanks that the state built when it was the hospital site. But it's just its own contained operation there, and it would be too far to make the connection to the two. But that's something we definitely considered as we were going through the evaluation.
I would not say never, but it's not in the next, I don't know, at least 10 years. We have a water strategic plan that we're going to do next year that looks out 30 or 40 years. We could connect that all. I don't want to say never, but it's not in the current plan for Crownsville.
Okay.
I don't have a question. I have a statement because of what some of the other people have said most frequently here and most recently. You had a meeting in 2014. It's now 11 years later, and this is being presented to us as pretty much a fait accompli. That's what I don't like.
Noted. Ma'am, you want to be our final statement or question?
Is location one the one where there's already a treatment plant and that's why it's not viable?
No, location one's just looking from the intersection of Crownsville Road and Defense Highway, looking back towards the.
Okay, so those weren't potential other sites.
No, this diagram, and then we repeat the diagram next to the renderings, so you have orientation. This is just the vantage points. We knew typically in when we do these tank public meetings, we might only have three or four vantage points, but we knew we needed to go further, closer, and then further back to give a representation of the thing. So that's, I think we could go all night. Some of these, we're getting repetitive. As I mentioned, the school wants us to be done and mostly out of here and packed up by 7 o'clock, 7:15. You do have my contact information. I saw several of you take a photo of it. So I will field any additional questions that come later. As I mentioned, John here will be taking over the project as we move closer into design. So if you reach out to me, I may field the question, or maybe John responding to you. Again, we Christian.
Oh, I was saying, we're going to look into the address issue, and if there's an address issue, then we will have another meeting.
Yep. And we will coordinate with the school board. And that was coordinated, asking if they had any activities tonight, and they gave us the all clear, but that wasn't the case. So I apologize again. If we follow on public meetings, we'll definitely reach out to them and make sure they're not having a track meet for the entire state here at the facility. So thank you, and I'll be in touch soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Is that your recording?